When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, it's Josh Rutledge, your co-host for Fearscape Paranormal Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to support us more, please head over to our website, fearscapepodcast.com. There you can click on store and browse some really awesome t-shirts and maybe pick a couple up, or even go to our Patreon page and see how you can support us monthly. We love bringing you awesome content just as much as you like listening to it. Enjoy the show. Hey everyone, Josh here. Do you feel like mainstream options for things such as yoga, meditation, or documentaries and films meant to expand your mind are lacking? Have you heard of Gaia? Gaia is the largest resource of consciousness expanding videos. Both Stefan and I have watched several of the series, documentaries, and films available on topics such as the secret space program, channeling interdimensional beings, and alien encounters. We're just now exploring the over 8,000 films, shows, and classes available to stream on your favorite devices. To get your 10-day free trial of Gaia, go to fearscapepodcast.com/Gaia offer. Again, that's fearscapepodcast.com/GAIA offer.
Fearscape Media Network, exploring the unknown, one podcast at a time.
Hello, I'm so glad you could join us. I hope you brought your blanket to hide under. The spooky crew is going to discuss things and events from other realms. Ghosts, cryptids, aliens. Be sure to hold your blanket extra tight as the boys take you deep into the Fearscape.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another frightening episode of Fearscape Paranormal Podcast. We are on the road to episode 100. That's right, 100 amazing, fun episodes of Fearscape to make you stay up late and hold those blankets extra tight. Well, since we are on the road to 100, which will premiere sometime in early October, we're going to dig deep into the archives to when Fearscape had a radio show called Fearscape FM. As you recall, it was myself, Stefan, and host Brad McQueary. And these episodes will show you what fun we had while we were on the radio. So until then, we'll see you at 100.
The following program is presented for entertainment purposes. WCHQ does not necessarily endorse the ideas presented.
Fearscape is a program that explores the legends and lore around many creepy and scary things. Information is researched and presented in an entertainment fashion and is presented based off of what we found. Legends have a way of changing over time, so
beware.
Fearscape.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Fearscape FM, here on 100.9 FM WCHQ.
Daddy, I see a ghost.
Mommy, I see a ghost.
This is your home for all the things spooky and paranormal. I'm Stefan Gearhart, joined as always here with my co-host, Mr. Brad McQueary.
Oh, hey, how's it going, guys? So I'm just sitting here, you know, looking across the bench at this handsome fella, and then there's Stefan. Sansom Vela, he's see-through, he's transparent.
Somebody's behind me?
He doesn't hide anything from me. It's quite nice. I can see the vehicles behind him.
Well, I can tell you this. It's not Ed.
No, there's no Ed this week. I think we scared him away after Whispers of State.
After Whispers of State.
And then his white-knuckle driving back to Louisville on no gas.
But yeah, we finished up last week's episode. In the last bit, we had to rush so fast that we were like, you know what? Let's come back. Let's do a follow-up. We didn't even really get to touch on other people's stories or even flesh out some of our own. And so we wanted to take this opportunity to once again hit Whispers of State. And so for those of you that didn't tune in last week, Whispers of State is a very famous haunted house up in Mitchell, Indiana. And it's frightening.
Yeah, I think frightening is definitely an understatement for that location. If you haven't heard that episode yet, it is in the archives on the WCHQ app or on SoundCloud.
That's right. Check that out. But we're going to be talking about some other people's stuff, like I said, and we're going to flesh out a little bit because we talked about some of the things we may have picked up on recording.
Yeah.
Especially the breathing sound. We do have that. I'm going to talk a little bit about that before we play that. It was something that we audibly heard.
Yeah, and you guys kept thinking it was somebody upstairs, like blowing their nose or sneezing or something like that, but when it started rotating around us, that was the pudding moment.
Yeah, that was the pudding moment.
It's here with us. It's not upstairs. It's definitely rotating around us.
Yeah, and it gets louder, and you know, we went upstairs, and it's the dining room area. There's no one slept in the dining room area, and so that was kind of debunked as well. But it was a heavy breath, like heavy breathing. You know, we were asking for a sign.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole time, all of us felt like this thing was angry, didn't want us down there. And it was just like this, you know, that breathing that you do before you get mad.
I like that.
Yeah.
Or for me, it's...
Squeak!
Yeah, I squeak before I get mad.
But yeah, that's what it sounded like. And so we'll let you decide. Here's a little clip.
I see someone standing right there in between Brad and the pillar directly in front of me. Mm. There's someone there. I can't stop staring.
That's real loud.
Yeah. There's someone breathing.
I know.
We mean you no harm. It's moving. Oh my god, that's so creepy.
Turn on the light.
Something's behind you, man. If you're there, give us another sign.
Mm-mm.
You don't think it's there anymore?
I don't want the sign.
Oh. It was a good one. It was a very, very good one. That was legit exhaling. Nope. Mm-mm.
I've seen it too.
Yep. Something just smacked
breathe
my
there.
Leg too. Yep. Mm. Something just like brushed my leg and like not in a like just hair going up thing. Like it was kind of like a...
I've seen him right there. Right when you said that. It went...
It's creepy. I'm like afraid to turn the light off.
I know.
I'm scared too. I don't want you to.
Okay. I mean, it distinct. I mean, you hear us.
Proof is
even
in the pudding.
You even hear us try to debunk it. We're like, is it the water pipe? You know, but a water pipe doesn't make that noise. Is it somebody upstairs? No, there's no one sleeping up there.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of stuff. We don't know.
And I think I caught an EVP in it. I'm not sure because we were talking a bit. So if our listeners are listening to that clip, if you guys want to like really dive in that clip, if you can find an EVP, let us know. Hit us up on Facebook. Hit us up on Instagram at FearScapePod. And let us know what you find.
Yeah. And so the next thing we wanted to talk about is the only other thing that we got on audio, which was the ball bouncing. And I know this one is weird because you can't see it move and blah, 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 blah. And it's basically, hey, take our word for it. But... I wish you could hear what we say after.
Yeah, let's just say it's a lot of expletives, bad, naughty words that we can't say on the radio.
And so, but you can distinctly hear this ball bouncing and the beginning of us freaking out. So this is when we were up in the seance room and we were pushing it to move. We were just trying to get anything to happen at that point. And that's when out of the blue... Oh, and it was a blue ball, too. That's funny. Out of the blue, it just bounces. And so listen to this and tell us what you think.
I got a creepy feeling. I got a creepy feeling between me and Brad. Kind of leaning on me.
Ooh, my hair is standing up.
And my
face.
I have
a cold spot from, like, my elbows up to the back of my neck.
Something's here.
I feel the static to my right.
I got a heaviness. And it's, like, leaning on me.
What the f-
See, you would say those bad words too.
Yeah.
You would say those words. I mean, we didn't put the words in there, but you can imagine what we said when all of a sudden a ball that is supposed to be stationary in its position is suddenly on the other side of the room where it should not be.
That's right. Whispers of State is so cool, though. Like, I just need to reiterate, everyone needs to go to whispersestate.com and they need to check out Whispers of State. Go spend an evening there.
I just thought of something.
What?
You know how, like, with the paranormal wants you to know that the paranormal is paranormal and that it exists?
Yeah.
And Whispers of State is not relatively well known in this area. And then we go and we have a radio show. And now the radio show is talking about Whispers of State. So more people are going to go to Whispers of State, which means more energy is going to be fed into the house, which means the demons are going to come for us.
And the owner is going to make a lot more money.
So it can stay open. That's yep. good. That's good. I'll take a few more demon hauntings for them to
but
stay
this
open.
Is, yeah, check them out. No, we love them to death. I'm only joking, but we love them to death. They were really, really great. And please go check them out. It's not far. And this has been covered by a number of different shows on hauntings and things like that.
I even found like YouTube clips.
Yeah,
which we'll talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Lots of YouTube clips. Lots of paranormal investigation teams.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stories that we're going to read to you today, some of those cover those, like their experiences, some of the things that they found or felt. Some of them were so long, you know, we had to cut them down. But the first one that we found that I want to talk about, because we're going to get into other people's experiences.
Before
here.
We get into that, can I give everybody a bit of a creepy catch up that
I've had a pretty nothing week.
So last weekend was Memorial Day weekend, and my mom had a cookout at her house, and my brother brought my niece over, his little girl. She's like two or three. She's standing in the kitchen facing towards a room at the back of the house, and she starts pointing and goes, "Hi. Hi," and keeps waving at this empty part of the house. There's doors
shut.
How old
is she?
Two or three.
Oh, perfect age, too.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird. And I'm like, what do you see, Press? And she's like, "Hi," and keeps waving and saying hi to something. So I'm like, well, show me. Take me to it. So she starts walking towards this back room, and she points at the door, and she goes, "Open." And I'm like, okay, I'll open it. So I open it, and she looks in, and she starts waving, and she goes, "Hi." And I'm like, "Press, what's in here?" She's like, and starts pointing towards a closet door. And at this point, I'm like, okay. She's pointing towards a closet door, so I get out my, like, little ghost meter thing, and I'm like, all right, let's see if something's in here. I started picking up on energy. And I'm like, okay, something's definitely in here. So I turned it off. And I'm like, "Presley, do you want to go into the room?" She would not cross the threshold to go into the room. She stayed at the door frame. And then the weirdest part was she started crying, covering her ears like she was hearing something. And then, like, kept pointing at the closet door again, going, "No, no, no." And then I, like, picked her up and took her back to my brother. And I was like, "I don't think she should go in that back room anymore. There's something in there."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was crazy. My mom's sitting there like, "Brad, I'm going to need you to take your ghosts and your demons and take them elsewhere." I'm like, they was already here. I didn't bring them here. I've told you. I have told you this place is haunted.
It makes you wonder if it was a bad spirit or if it was just unfamiliar to her, so she was a little freaked out by it.
Well, I've dog sat for her before in that house, and I've caught things out of the corner of my eye. I've seen, like, a shadow standing in the hallway. So, like, I've felt and seen things there, but it was just really interesting to see my niece experience something. So I know kids are a lot more sensitive than adults are to it. I'm just like, the selfish part of me was like, I hope you never lose the sensitivity so when you're 10 years old we can go on adventures.
exactly.
I'll be 38 when she's 10. Oh no.
Oh no. But yeah, let's get into some stories that we found across the interwebs from people and their experiences. I want to get into a little bit about that. The first one that we have comes from Elon Strickler at phantomsandmonsters.com, and this was about their group's investigation. So this kind of talks about a number of different people.
I'm assuming they survived because they were able to document it.
I hope so. You remember that PBS show, Ghost Rider?
Ghost Rider.
Oh, boy.
So.
Our investigation begins. The first thing we did was arm the house with recording devices. After what Doug had witnessed on his last visit, we wanted to be ready if the activity started to happen. We had a condenser microphone upstairs and downstairs. There was a video camera running along with another digital recorder in Rachel's bedroom upstairs and more handheld digital recorders downstairs with people. We dimmed the lights in the parlor and started talking to the air around us. I always feel stupid at the beginning of an EVP session because it feels like you're talking to nothing until it answers back. I was completely stunned when we started to hear the beginnings of many strange sounds that night with our own ears. Jared started asking Rachel questions, asking if she'd come out. The first sound of the evening was very strange and eerie. I can't quite explain it, but you can listen to it. It was coming from upstairs and no one was up there. The only thing on the second floor was our very inhuman recording equipment. Doug quickly exclaimed that was how the sound started during his last visit to Whispers. Excitement in the room grew when we continued to hear more sounds, including what sounded like two men talking. We couldn't make anything out except for mumbling. We continued to hear tinkering sounds and thuds, and the icing on the cake was the sound of someone running upstairs. With so much noise coming from the second floor, we decided to go to see if anything had been moved. We had set up jacks along a dresser and spelled Rachel's name in some magnetic letters.
Okay, so first of all, break away from this story. You just inviting some trouble when you spelling ghost names with magnets. I'm just saying.
Oh, I know. And just to give a little sidebar that I didn't mention last time is that when we got upstairs on the first tour,
yeah,
as soon as she opened the door, I heard something run down the hallway. Do you remember me saying that?
Yeah, we all heard it. It was oh, something just ran out of here.
Yeah, something like, almost like what would be like a dog. Like
yeah.
A small dog.
Yeah, I think I had mentioned when we went into that room, I had looked down the hallway and seen like something kind of dark hunched over in the corner. And that was around the same time you said that we had all heard something like scatter.
Yep.
So anyway, back to their idea of using magnet letters.
Nothing had been disturbed. For the next session, myself and Bonnie stayed upstairs in Rachel's room, and the guys all stayed in the parlor. I laid there on the bed in the dark, able to see the dolls displayed on the dresser through the night shot on my video camera. One doll in particular was extra creepy. It was a burnt-up doll that has a strange story as to how it got that way. Doug told me, quote, "Some past guests had asked, Rachel, show us what you look like. The doll dropped from out of nowhere onto either the staircase or at the end of Rachel's bed. I can't remember, but somehow I associated the doll story with both of those places. When a lady went to pick it up, it was smoking and hot to the touch. The burnt doll looked back at me, and I was waiting for the disturbing thing to go flying off the dresser or turn its head all the way around. But nothing happened. Bonnie started to breathe heavy, and I think she was dozing off, when suddenly, a bunch of noise came from the attic. In the parlor below, the guys heard what sounded like a ball bouncing. Previously in the night, Doug had asked for Rachel to bring us her jacks and balls. Doug and Jared had decided to head up to the attic so that there were people on every floor. In the past, the attic has had a lot of activity, and currently, Jared was remodeling it to make more rooms available for the bed and breakfast. And if you know a thing or two about the paranormal, you might have heard remodeling in a home almost always seems to stir up paranormal activity even more. Bonnie and I heard what sounded like boards being dropped. We yelled up to Doug and Jared, asked if they were okay, and Doug yelled back, "It's paranormal! We need a flashlight! Quick!" Bonnie bolted off the bed and dashed up the attic. I didn't have a flashlight and shamefully will admit, stayed on the bed for a few seconds, paralyzed and just a tad spooked out. Someone finally shined a light inside the dark bedroom for me, and I bolted to the attic with everyone else. Doug and Jared were stumped as to what had happened. They were sitting in the small attic space when they heard the sound of a ball drop on the floor, and then a few loose boards that were leaning on the wall moved and actually hit Jared on the head. The ball found was the missing Jack's ball Doug had asked for earlier in the evening. While on a break between EVP sessions, the overpowering smell of old cologne and shaving cream infused the parlor. The smell moved around the room and particularly seemed to plague Bonnie, who could hardly stand it. No one there had cologne on, and the smell came and went. After more EVP sessions with more strange noises, Jared and Bonnie headed back up to the attic. They weren't up there long when they yelled for us to come up. We ran upstairs again like a herd of elephants and didn't know what to say when we saw about 9 Jacks laying on the attic floor. Bonnie said she even heard the sound of a ball bouncing in the attic, but once the lights were on, no ball was found. Eventually, the activity seemed to slow down along with us. I started to drift off to sleep at 4:30 a.m., and the door between our room and the dining room opened. There was a chain lock on it, so it didn't open all the way. I kicked my boyfriend and told him the door was opening, and he mumbled something about the door jam not being true. So, did the door just open on its own, or did one of the resident ghosts come down to tuck us into bed? Who knows? Our buddy Jason's room was next to ours, and the lights blazed in his room all night long. Jason was told his room was a doctor's operating office in a highly active room. With how the night had gone, Jason wasn't going to take any chances and kept the lights on all night.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more to their story, but that was the meat of it there, you know, like...
Wow. Yeah, I just... That became the theme of the night for us, was light good, dark bad.
Yeah.
every time we turn off the lights, that's when things would happen.
Yeah, one thing we definitely didn't mess with, and I think all of us felt uncomfortable with, was moving the jacks and the balls. Like, not a lot of people messed with them in the house. I think we were all like, they're where they are.
Yeah,
they should stay there.
Didn't touch the chain piles, did not touch any of the jacks or the jack and balls or nothing.
Well, not true. We did move one change pile, the one in the seance room.
Oh, yeah. Your fault. You touched it.
Yeah. Now that I'm sitting there thinking about it, we moved one change pile, and that's the one where we get change thrown at us.
Yeah, that pudding. Look
weird.
At you.
Weird. I didn't even think about that.
Wait, didn't you guys do a talking board session up there?
We did.
Did you move any of the stuff when you did it?
Yeah, we had to because we had to... set the board down because that thing was right in the middle of the...
But you guys probably had flashlights or something going on. Okay. So that's why I was like, yeah, there's lights. I don't want to do nothing.
Yeah, we had flashlights going the whole time. Well, this next one comes from another paranormal investigation group. These guys are from AmericanSpectralSociety.com. And this is one of their experiences.
The first inexplicable situation occurred when the tour began. Joey Tito's video camera malfunctioned to the point where no video was even being captured, but audio was recorded without issue. With that said, no video was recorded during the investigation. The tour lasted a little over an hour, but before it was over, we were teased by the spirits in the house. As the tour guides brought the team through the house room by room, they were cautious to assure they closed the doors behind them as the tour moved on. While in one of the rooms on the second floor, a downstairs door slammed inexplicably. This event excited the team and presented the beginning to what appeared to be a full night of paranormal happenings. As the tour drew to its end, the team broke into groups and explored the building on their own, floor by floor. While investigating, Joey began taking pictures throughout the house. In one room in particular, he thought he had captured the local entity named Big Black, as he noticed dark, wavy black sections appearing in a couple of the photos he had taken. Upon further examination, it was deemed a shutter malfunction, as the shutter was taking a long time to completely open while taking pictures, causing black, anomalous shapes to appear in the frame. Artie Schramm, one of the team members, was spooked by something so badly that he refused to go anywhere in the house alone. This included the bathroom. He had to use the bathroom badly, but held it all night until the investigation was over. This was the first time this has happened during an investigation to us. Artie did not share what spooked him so badly, but he has no desire to return to Whisper's estate in the future. Lisa Crick stated that she felt as if something accompanied the team in the waiting room, attributing this to the uneasy feeling the team felt when spending time there. The light fixture in the servants' living quarters swung violently on its own. In the doctor's exam room, several cold spots were felt and the bed inexplicably shook. Footsteps were heard throughout the evening as well as what sounded like doorknobs being manipulated in various rooms. At one point during the evening, Lisa became violently ill, almost to the point of loss of consciousness.
That's normally a sign of a dark entity, isn't it? When you start feeling ill.
Yeah, getting ill.
It's trying to oppress you. It's a oppression or possession. I think oppression is the beginning of a possession. So when you start feeling like super sick, a common sign of a demonic possession and hauntings is pain in your spine or pain on your right side. Hmm. And for some reason, those two spots, a lot of the like in paranormal investigation shows you watch, like Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters, stuff like that, when they start feeling that entity trying to attack them or attach to them, they'll start feeling pain in their bones. And a lot of time it's the spine, mainly the lower part of the spine. And some researchers believe it's because that's where our energy chakras lie. And that the entity is attacking your chakras.
Interesting. Those are definitely energy points for sure. Never thought about them as being access points.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of creepy. It makes me want to close all my chakras when you're supposed to leave them open.
Close them all. Nobody's allowed in.
Yeah. That was crazy. You know, like one of the things that hits me is like in a lot of the stories that I read and even on that video that's on Amazon Prime, the documentary, is that bed shook violently. And it's like, that happened to us.
Yeah, the one in the operating room?
Yeah, in the operating room. That happened to us.
Yeah, that one, I think that was the first incident that got me. And I was like, okay, this place is for real.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
Other than like the pressure feeling of the entire building in general, mm-hmm. but that was the first place where we heard like the scratching, the hissing, the shaking.
Yeah, I mean, it was nuts, man. Like, and three, four things happened at once.
Yeah.
And that bed hit, and Trisha's like, "Brad!" And I'm like, "He didn't do it. I saw it."
I was like, I'm pretty sure my hands were like away from the bed when that happened. She's like, "Brad?" And I'm like, nope, not me, nope.
I like that she's the most like northern girl, and we gave her the most redneck, "Brad!" Oh, man.
That's like my grandma. She was she wasn't very southern, but when she was mad, she had Bradley Jane. Oh, yeah, I'm in trouble.
So we've got a couple as well that come from the journals.
Yeah.
So one of the cool things that they do is they have people journal their experiences.
Which I'm pretty sure you filled an entire journal with ours.
I filled three pages.
Yeah,
it took me a while. But I filled three pages. But yeah, you know, mine were mostly bullet points just because we didn't have a lot of time. But, you know, other people put their experiences, and a lot of people posted these online. They would take a picture of them and then post them online. And so we found a few. And so we've got one here. Brad, what do you got?
So this one is from an investigation team called Investigation Supernatural Unit. It is by a member named Justin N. I'm not going to say his last name for, to keep his identity safe.
Sure.
But, I just told the name of the place. All I got to do is just, who's Justin? Who's got an N? All right. Anyway, so his name is Justin N. This was on Wednesday, April 27th.
At approximately midnight, I, Justin N., felt a gust of wind go by me as I walked by the nursery door in the hallway. After about a minute, I felt a burning feeling on my neck. We looked and saw two scratches on the left side of my neck. Towards the end of our investigation, around 5:30 a.m. on the 28th, I was in Virgil's closet and I felt yet another burning feeling. This time, a scratch appeared on my right side of my neck. Overall, I absolutely love this experience and I am planning on returning. Justin.
Man, see, I don't like that because I got that burn feeling too, man.
And he was never seen again.
Never again! And now they're doing investigations into him. But yeah, like that, I mean, that happened to me. I mean, that I got the burning scratches on my right side and one burning scratch. I had like, looked like three or four.
Yeah.
And then one on the other side.
I'm not going to lie. When you got scratched, I thought you'd done it to yourself unintentionally at first because I think you had like just shaven or something like that that day. And because you had like some stubbles on your neck. And I thought maybe like you were scratching your neck. And then like an hour later, like my neck feels weird.
Yeah.
But when you look at the scratches, which we, I think we posted the pictures. If you look at it. It was on your right side of your neck, but it looks like somebody used their left hand and went back.
Ooh.
So you can't do that with your own hand. I've been trying.
I don't know. I mean, good luck, but I know what I felt.
Wait, wasn't like Rachel left-handed? I don't know if that's true.
Oh, man, don't do that. I was like, oh, no. But like I said, it wasn't like a scratch. It didn't feel like that. It felt like burning like, strips.
Like, yeah, it looked like a sunburn almost.
Yeah, it's like crazy. It was weird, man.
Kind of jealous. I wanted to get scratched.
Yeah, I would have prayed to you. Well, if you remember too, I felt it on my arm too, but it didn't redden up.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I keep forgetting about that because we didn't document that because nothing it didn't red up. But I mean, I definitely felt that burning scratch on my arm as well later on, all in Rachel's room. But yeah, so here's another story. This one's actually from Sandra, one of the staff there who we met that was there. This is one of hers. This is from February of 2017.
Okay.
So this is fun. This one says...
fun.
During a public investigation up in Jesse's room about 9:25 p.m., we heard a growl while on the flashlight tour. Then, when coming out of Rachel's room, we heard what sounded like something being rolled or thrown. When we were in Dr. John's room, we had a girl that got touched on the leg. In the nursery upstairs, it felt like something tugged on my shirt. Then, while in the servants' quarters, a guy felt burning on his left hand, and when looked, it appeared he had a red mark by his knuckle. This was during the short flashlight tour only. Also, when coming out of the basement, we heard what sounded like a ball being kicked.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Tell you what, those spirits in there are their balls? Yeah, sure, that's what I'm saying.
Spirit balls.
Spirits in their balls.
Spirits in their balls. But yeah, so I mean, it's interesting because Rachel's room is the room that felt like the least heavy.
Yeah,
which
it really
is interesting.
Did.
Like, it felt like the least heavy, but yet we had a beach ball. Get moved, like kicked across the room.
Yeah.
I got scratched in three different places. The little rocking chair rocked, even though I can debunk that. Possibly, you know, like it's weird. It was the room that felt the least heavy.
See, it's the room that creeped me out almost the most because of the judgy-eyed dolls.
Oh,
that were sitting on the table.
Doll, yeah.
Those things were weird. Did we take a picture of those?
Yeah, I got some pictures, I believe. I don't know if I took a picture of the judgy-eyed doll.
Oh, man, the judgy-eyed doll. I thought that was going to come to life.
Yeah, man. I was like, it's looking right at you. Oh, man. All right, what do we got next?
All right, so this next one comes from another individual who had checked out the house. Her name is Skylar. And she visited on December 2nd of 2017.
I went to the attic, the red room, and one of the men I was with said his arm got grabbed, so I raised his sleeve. When I raised his sleeve, it let go of his arm, but then grabbed my shoulder. Then we were in Virgil's closet, and we were sitting there. We heard rustling around, and our camera, on night vision, shuddered from motion. As soon as that happened, I felt a hard push on my back and neck. We came back downstairs. I went to the bathroom and noticed in the mirror that my neck was extremely red and burning. We also believe Rachel was playing with the beach ball with us, and Gary was playing with the mini mag flashlights with us. This was a very great place and experience. Thank you for this. Skylar.
There again, those scratch and heat marks on the neck.
Dude, those flashlights, those were kind of a detector for me a lot of times.
Oh, for sure. I mean, every time, like, we'd get to a heavy area, they'd start kind of blinking out.
Mm-hmm. And I remember one of the tour guys, when you guys had went up to the attic during the flashlight tour, and we were coming back down they had just opened the bathroom door to show you guys the big tub and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And I was walking towards the servant's quarter door, which hadn't been opened yet, but it was the direction that we saw, like, the dark figure like slouched over and where we heard the running go off.
Yeah,
to.
Yeah, we felt it go off too for sure.
And when I got close to it, I started feeling the pressure and my flashlight started going in and out. And every time I would get close to the door, it'd go out, move away from the door, turn back on. So I turned to the tour guide and I'm like, this is pretty interesting. There's something in there. She's like, why do you say that? I was like, the lights are being affected. So I did that. And she's like, oh, that's weird. So then we go into the room, and as soon as I enter the room, my flashlight won't stay on. And I'm walking around, and I go and sit in this chair, and I don't know why, but the tour guide turns to me, and she goes, are you sure you haven't been here before? And I go, no, I've never been here. She's like, because the house likes you. And I'm like, oh, great. Nope, never been here. I'm good. And it did like me, that's for sure.
Oh, that's not what I thought she was going to say. I thought she was going to be like, you look just like a guy that did a flashlight tour 2 years ago.
His name was Brad, and we never saw him again.
And we know because his friend from Northern Ohio said, Brad, Brad, Brad.
So this last one here that we have, this one actually comes from Gwen Ziegler, who's one of the tour guides, one of the managers there.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of her first experiences there. And so this
is the Red Room, isn't it?
Yeah, this is in the Red Room where the portal is thought to exist. Now,
Does exist there, Stefan. There's thought to. It does.
And I listened to our entire EVP session that we had up there. And, of course, we got nothing on the recorder. But just listening back to somebody going, oh, ow, it just pinched me, or, ooh, gosh, it's right there. Oh, it hit my chin. You know, like, we can hear all those things. Like, a lot of activity was happening in there for sure.
Oh, yeah, that room was very heavy.
And so I can't imagine. So this is her story of sleeping there. I can't even imagine.
Check, please.
There, yeah. But this comes from all the way back from September 19th, 2010.
Oh, dang. I didn't know they'd been there that long.
Yeah. Ooh. So this is, you know, this. Yeah.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Yeah. This is Gwen's experience.
I hope I could make it clear just how horrific this encounter was for me. For your information, this whole experience happened within a 12-minute time frame. I went to the attic at approximately 6:35 a.m. and shut the door behind me to the Red Room. I heard the door click shut. I chose not to lock it. At 6:38 a.m., I texted my friend Jenny that I was going to sleep in the attic room. I lay down on the bed, never getting under the blankets. I had my phone, glasses, and flashlight beside me. All of a sudden, I heard a pop sound, which was probably just the house settling, I figured. I thought nothing of it. I then heard a sound like new lumber falling. I know there was no new lumber in the house, but the sound had an echo of new lumber. I put my forearm over my forehead and instantly heard a stern male voice to my right telling me to wake up. I attempted to move my arm and tell whom I believe was my spirit guide, I am not asleep. However, I was not able to move. In the next second, my eyes shut. I fight to move, but am unable to. I am then grabbed from something behind me, deep within the bed, and then pulled, jerked downward. I again hear, wake up! I fight to open my eyes, focusing on each one, seeing the colors gray and black, and I scream, no! Only to hear it deep within me. My lips never moved. I made no sound. I remember telling myself not to scream too loud or I'll wake the guests. And then I heard, again, who I believe was my spirit guide, say, yes, yell, you need to wake them up, you need help. I was finally able to open my left eye. I see my body lying on the bed as I am being pulled violently downward. Again I scream, no! But no sound comes forth. I sense that if I do get to the bottom of this pit I seem to be being pulled into, that I will not be returning as myself. The more I am being pulled, I sense fear, evil, and pain, and hatred, and pure negativity. Somehow I started clawing my way back up, my hands digging in what was dirt and roots. First one hand, and then the other, and then finally, freedom. I lay there, and I'm afraid. I was afraid to move. I wait for a second. My brain starts thinking. I move only my left arm down and pick up my phone. I call Jenny. Once Jenny answered, I held the phone to my ear and got the flashlight. I scanned the room, but I knew no one was there, that it was all in the bed. However, the door was no longer shut. I jumped up from the bed. I started crying. And I'm hurt. How could this happen to me? I'm so angry. Why would this happen to me? If something wanted to show me something, it didn't have to be this way. Jenny says she wants me to go downstairs, but I can't, because if I leave the room due to this, then it has won. And if I become fearful of the attic, then what is next? I ask Jenny to call me back in 30 minutes to wake me up. She does. Nothing happens. When she calls, I ask for another 30 minutes, and she calls me again, but nothing happened. I leave to see the guests. You know, you often hear people say that heaven is so wonderful, that we can't wrap our brains around how just wonderful it is. Well, I'm here to tell you that the place my body was being pulled to was so bad, dark, evil, and intensely terrifying that you cannot wrap your brain around it. Once you feel it, it never leaves you. I also know that I was only pulled down a few feet. If I was nowhere near the bottom and I felt that much evil, then I can only fathom what it must have been like at the bottom. I feel as though something reached up and grabbed my soul and pulled me under. I since have felt despair and have very little energy. My voice has become monotone. I hugged my family very tightly when I got home. Thankful to see them again. And I will admit that I am curious to know what would have happened if I had not fought my way back. I consider myself extremely lucky that I was able to escape. I want to warn anyone who is thinking about sleeping in the attic. Your body, of course, will survive. However, your soul will never be the same. And here's an interesting fact. I looked at my phone log and it showed the following. 6:38 a.m., text message to Jenny. 6:50 a.m., call to Jenny lasting 19 minutes. 7:57 a.m., incoming call from Jenny lasting 32 seconds. 8:29 a.m., incoming call from Jenny lasting 1 minute. I can tell you all this. Jenny is always on time, especially when she's worried. She remembers calling in exactly 30 minutes. And if you notice, there is 18 minutes missing from the time from when the time I hung up with Jenny at 7:09 and her phone call at 7:57. Oddly enough, when checking Jenny's phone log, there is no record of me calling her at all or her even calling me.
It's the creeper. It's got to be the creeper.
Something. I mean, well, she's in that room in the portal. I mean, it's almost as if she astral projected and was being pulled into that portal.
When we discussed the Waverly Hills episode, I think it was our first two episodes here on WCHQ, and one of the things we talked about was the entity known as the creeper.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. The creeper at the Waverly Hills location is identified as not of this world, not of this dimension,
moves
very strangely. The creeper at Whisper's estate is described the exact same way. Not of this dimension, moves very, very quirky, not of this world.
Well, and like I said that in the last episode, my night hag that I had last was basically a creeper. It had long arms and short legs. And I think we've always thought that they were from another dimension or outer space. I don't know.
Yeah.
But definitely not.
It's an inhuman spirit.
Yeah. It definitely didn't feel, they don't even feel demonic, so to speak. They definitely feel
curious,
extra dimensional, you know, for sure.
I remember when we were in the Red Room and I was starting to get a feel for it. I remember, later that day after I'd woken up, I told you that it didn't feel malicious. It felt curious.
Yeah, there were a couple things in that Red Room, though, and some of them did feel malicious, but the two I think that we interacted with was what we thought was the creeper, as well as a spirit that said that through the app stuff, basically said that he was stuck there, that he had hung himself.
Yeah.
And from what we had gathered from Trisha and things like that was that it was jealous, so to speak, because all these creatures basically that was the airport, essentially, for that portal. And it could see all these extra-dimensional creatures being able to walk through and leave or enter this room at all times, and it really irritated him. He was so angry, like, because he couldn't leave, and he was stuck in this room because he had hung himself.
So he was in a true limbo.
Yeah, he's in a true limbo, but, like, it was almost his hell as well because he got to see everything else leave.
Yeah. Did they ever explain why there are mirrors in every single room? Just kind of oddly placed?
Probably just for mirror gazing and things like that.
I feel like it's for room jumping for the spirits.
Definitely there is a lot of theory that spirits use mirrors for portal usage, essentially. You know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of old wives' tales and stuff that say that if you're going to do any spirit work, to cover the mirrors.
Yeah, because one of the YouTube videos that I had found, I sent you, it was named Demonic Possession Witnessed at Whispers Estate.
Yeah, I was wondering if you were going to bring this up or not.
Oh, I'm bringing it up, as we can see.
Okay.
What I found really interesting about that was they had a lot of cool technology they were using.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really approve of their tactics. A few of the people were using provocation.
Right.
And I do not approve of provocation.
Especially
unless,
not in this house.
No, unless you're ready to go to battle and go to war with these spirits, do not provocate at
unless
all.
Unless you're Ed Warren.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. But there was one device they had where it sent like these waves into your brain and essentially allowed your body to explore, to... I guess almost like astral projecting a little bit. And one of the individuals that did it, he said that when he went into his trance, he was jumping from room to room using those mirrors.
Whoa.
And that he was seeing what everybody was doing. So it wasn't like a dream where he was like, oh, so-and-so sitting at a table, you know, that's just what I'm dreaming. He felt like that what he was seeing was as he was jumping, he jumped to the seance room and saw his friends in there doing the Ouija board. He jumped to the basement and saw his friends down there doing EVP sessions. And he was literally jumping around the house. And what felt like hours to him, jumping from mirror to mirror, was only like 4 or 5 minutes. Because they ended up pulling him from it because he had started to... He started trying to move and like run and get out. And then there was another individual that they did this with as well. But he had a negative effect. Instead of going into like an astral projection, a spirit entered him. And you mentioned this looking at the video. The look on his face in night vision when like this entity was trying to take him over was similar to what we saw in the mirror when I was mirror gazing. Dark black eyes. Didn't look like himself at all. It almost looked like he had fangs all of a sudden.
Ugh.
It was so creepy. And he started giggling and laughing and couldn't like keep a coherent sentence or anything like that.
That's weird. So what do you think about the video?
I think it's great. They got some great EVPs out of it. They definitely put themselves at risk. At one point they had done a talking board session between just two people, and then one guy started kind of, they called it partially possessing. I think he might have just been feeling like an uncomfortable pressure, and he got up and left the session without saying goodbye, which, as we know, is very dangerous with Ouija boards. You always want to say goodbye. The main thing is I did not like the provocation, because we've experienced that house, and I know I've joked before about using provocation, but I've never actually used it before. Even when we were doing our investigation, like, I got a little stern with some of the spirits.
Yeah, same.
But I never questioned their power. I never questioned their abilities. I never questioned their existence.
Yeah, I think we were more like, come on!
We were more like kids, like, please, Dad,
come on, man!
Show us that magic trick again. That was so cool.
Well, it's an interesting question that you posed about mirrors being a portal to ghosts, right? And so I laugh because this is a big topic, you know? And in fact, one person stated that they believe that, yes. Here's what they said about mirrors and being portals. So this is off of Quora.com. Says, for generations, people have been fascinated by reflective surfaces. Because of this, many folk tales and legends were created. Mirrors are connected to portals. Here are more superstitions or do-nots in relationships to mirrors, for mirrors are believed to pose dire risks. If a person is in bed and ill in a room, all mirrors should be covered. The reason for this is when a person is near a mirror, if it is a portal, it can take their soul.
Oh, no thank you.
Yeah. People should never look into a mirror at night or by candlelight. The reason for this is because you might see a ghost or even your own death. When a person dies in a room, all the mirrors should be covered or turned towards the wall. The reason for this is so that the dead person's soul does not become lost in this portal. When a person is sleeping, they should cover all mirrors in the room. The reason for this is so negative energy cannot attack them. Along with this, it is said that a person should never place their bed in a way that a mirror can reflect it.
Dude, that I don't like that.
Yep.
Because when my grandmother passed away, she was staring and smiling at the mirror
as she was dying. Oh, no. Mm-mm. Finally, a person should move their mirrors to different areas of the room. The reason for this is so spirits or ghosts cannot use it as a portal. Do not buy or place old mirrors in your home. If a previous owner to the home you rent or buy leaves a mirror or mirrors behind, get rid of them. If a mirror has been used for any kind of spiritual work, for divination or scrying, or mirror gazing, get rid of them because these practices supposedly open the portals. People who do this for a profession cleanse or do some kind of ritual with these mirrors in order to protect themselves. Finally, many places that are reputed to be haunted, such as old hotels, have mirrors that have definitely become portals.
I'm worried about Waverly Hills when it becomes the full hotel. That's actually completed, whenever that might be a while, but just these stories we're getting for Whispers Estate, and when it was a bed and breakfast, you know, there's a lot of energy that goes in there, so people experience a lot of things. You know, with Waverly Hills as it is now, we're getting a ton of evidence because people investigate it, but when people are going to be there nightly,
yeah,
24/7, I feel like that's when Fitz going to hit the Shan. Bringing that on back. And that's going to be a place that, even now, I think you, me, Trisha, Ed, and even David, because we're all very highly sensitive to this stuff, and for some reason it likes us,
mm-hmm.
need to go to Waverly again.
For sure.
Well, you've never been.
I've never been, neither has my sister.
Okay, so you both need to... Oh, no. Yeah. Take the Wonder Twins in there.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I want to go back to Whispers. Because one of the things that they said is, please do not sage the house. Please do not cleanse the house. Mm-hmm. Like, they want the spirits to be malevolent. They want that because that's their moneymaker, and I get it. But what that also means is all the mirror gazing and all the stuff that's in there, if those superstitions and those things are correct,
all that energy is just building.
Massive portals in there. So this harkens back to what you were saying, that if that guy was indeed traveling through the mirrors, just based off of the old superstitions and lore, mm-hmm. it absolutely can be.
Come on, guys. Be careful. Just be careful. I know it's fun, but be careful. Because when I first did my first paranormal investigation, like, God, it's been probably about 10 years now, I was very... I didn't take caution. I just kind of went and just did. And, I was provocating and, you know, trying to make things happen. And now, 10 years later... learning about the supernatural the way I have, learning about spirits, I have such this respect for the paranormal and for these other dimensions of what we don't understand, that I don't go into these like, hey, if you don't show me something, you're not real. I'm going in going, if you show me something, great. If you don't, I still respect you.
Well, and that's the thing, and I want to give a just a PSA of sorts while we're here. We can do a little spooky news in a sense. Is, you know, we talk about these things and we do this stuff, but we're very prepared when we go into places and we mm-hmm. do things. We make sure that safety comes first, and all of those things. We try not to take risks. Heck, we stay away from provocation and things like that. But a piece of spooky news is that a girl here in Louisville recently just lost her life climbing the trestle where the Popelik monster is supposed to be.
Yeah.
She was out with friends and they were hunting for the Popelik monster. And
was that confirmed that they were looking for the Popelik monster?
It's not confirmed, but there's no other reason to climb that trestle.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I'm like, oh, I hope she didn't listen to our show, you know.
No, because we put a PSA on that episode and said, do not go there.
But there's a perfect example. It's like when not just spiritual risk, mm-hmm. but bodily risk.
Yeah.
Like, if there is real risk at hand, don't go. You know, and especially you youngsters out there, and God, that makes me sound old, but it's like, you know, you definitely haven't had the experience to know what things are and things like that, and it's easier to think you're messing with that because you don't believe in things.
Yeah.
You know, and who knows? I don't know. That just really blew my mind to read that story about that girl here, because I think she was 17.
She was young.
Lost her life because of the train. I mean, the trains still run on that trestle. Like, it's still a real thing. And I don't know. I mean, I'm like, if you're going to go out there, you know, we already said there's farmers with guns. Okay. Mm-hmm. They already don't like people out there. And then there's just the natural, like, animals that are out there. It could be coyotes. There could be all kinds of things.
And I'm pretty sure the farmers don't take too kind to people just showing up on their properties.
No.
Either.
And then the trestle itself is dangerous. It's
very.
You know, if you get permission to go out there, don't climb the trestle.
No.
You know, take your video footage, do whatever you're going to do. But I mean, I hope she wasn't drinking. And that's another thing. Don't drink and do drugs when you're doing this stuff.
Mm-mm.
You know, you need your head in the proper space.
Yeah.
You know, like, I look back to all the stuff that happened to us at Whispers Estate. And if I had been drinking or doing some sort of drugs or something, I probably would have had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Like, because it was already frightening enough. And I'm someone who looks for this stuff, you know, like, mm-hmm. I've experienced it my whole life. But, like, it just was extra, you know,
extra haunt.
But yeah, please stay away. That's my PSA.
Your PSA. Yeah, we can fill it. But I think we have a pretty good little program here that we need to start doing more. We need to visit these locations, investigate them ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bring it back to the people and let them know what we experienced.
Yeah, I've actually, through Ed, we, on the Crybaby Bridge episode, I mentioned a comedian and paranormal investigator that I have now become friends with. I'm going to try to get her to come on and interview. Mm-hmm. I would love to get those experiences. And same thing, you know, we're not doing a listener story this week because we had so many things going on with Whispers. But, you know, as usual, it's like, if you have those stories or you're interested in coming on here and sharing your story, or you are part of a paranormal investigation team looking at you, Louisville Ghost Hunters, you know, reach out to us. We would love to have you come on and talk about your experiences and things like that. Or, like I said, if you're just a normal Joe and you know about legends and lore within your own town in southern or central Indiana and Kentucky, or even southern Illinois or southern Ohio, give us a ring. Or not ring, don't call us, but, you know, email us at fearscapepodcast@gmail.com. And send that to us. We want those stories. We would love to hear your experiences and stuff like that. Or if you've got any leads,
mm-hmm.
you know, of places to go that you don't think that we might know, or are places we should investigate, or at least just research to do an episode on, let us know. fearscapepodcast@gmail.com.
And if Louisville Ghost Hunters are listening, if you want to bring us in on a little investigation, we can do a recap right here on the radio station. That'd be
that.
Awesome.
Would love that.
I'm not begging. Like, I'm not too proud to beg either.
Yeah. But yeah, like, going back to Whispers Estate, man, like, that last bit, we had to rush the last bit, but I want to talk about it again. You know, we were sitting in there, you know, and just all this stuff was going on. Like, the Red Room was already creepy. We were getting punched and pinched and poked and brushed and all sorts of stuff like that. The creature walked through my sister and I. We're getting cold mm-hmm. spots in the hottest place in the house.
Yeah.
You know, and then we go into that seance room and we're there, and like that ball just shoots across the room.
I've never felt such an attraction to one part of the house. The entire night, I wanted to be there, and I was fearful of that seance room. Well, for good reason, we find out.
Yeah, and we talk about it again. It's like, it felt like there were like 25 people in a room, maybe, that could hold 8.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it was just jam-packed in there, and there was only 4 physical presences in there. And, man, that ball, when it bounced, and like I said, the interesting thing about the ball bouncing is that it didn't bounce, really. It just shot and then landed. Like, and it's a bouncy ball. I bounced it. It bounces. And
bouncy balls.
Don't get me wrong, we definitely double checked. There was a small little incline, and so we could see how it didn't roll back that way, but it hit hard.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't it bounce back? I mean, the incline was minimal.
Yeah.
You know, and then We're sitting there, we're trying to get the ball to bounce again, and that penny, pennies from heaven.
I wish we'd got that.
Yeah, that's the other thing. The recording cut off. Like, it
at
cut 10 off
minutes and 2 seconds.
Yeah, 10 minutes and 2 seconds. For some reason, it stopped, and no one's hands were on the recorder. It was upside down. It was the strangest thing. And it just got...
But we could tell from the recording we listened to that where it cut off was a mere like half a second before the penny was thrown.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. And, you know, here's the other thing. So we also did, during that, we did the speech to text.
Yeah.
Right? And so this was my kind of sneaky way to try to get EVPs. And there's a one point where we say, does anybody want to say anything?
Oh, I remember this.
And it says, Mama was made sorry for it by me because I barely touched it, but I moved everything.
I wonder if that's Rachel.
Yeah, I don't know. I find that interesting. And then again, it says Mama was made sorry for it.
Because you got to remember the story of Rachel. She was messing with the candles on the Christmas tree, and that's what caused her to catch fire.
I didn't even think about that. But yeah, I thought that was interesting because that didn't match up with anything that we said.
Yeah.
In fact, what we said is still there. Because like we said, you know, does anybody want to say anything? And then there's a pause.
Yeah.
Right? And then it says that. And then, you know, just going down again, it's like, can you hear us? Can you hear us? And then it says, I wasn't running.
I just got goosebumps because of all the times we heard things or entities or children running around in that house.
Yeah. And then another one, here's another one, like looking down, it says, is there anyone there who wants to speak? And then it just says, shut up.
I do remember that one too.
Yeah. Like, and so it's like, here's these things that, you know, are here, but they're not on the EVP, but the text there, the voice to text picked it up.
Yeah, picked them up.
And I find that very, very interesting.
That'll be something we have to experiment and play with more on other investigations, because if that is working that well, that's going to be fun to play with for sure.
Yeah. I'm kind of looking through again, seeing if there's anything else.
Yeah, I went through all my EVPs and nothing. I got nothing. Even the sessions during the mirror gazing, I got nothing. Mine and Ed's EVP session in the attic, got nothing. But that's just going through a raw listen. I haven't actually put it into a program yet to enhance or anything like that.
Yeah.
So all that could change. But I finally was able to download the program today. So hopefully by next week, I'll be able to present something if there's anything there.
Yeah, all I know is that was that whole evening was something I'll never forget.
Well, I'll tell you what, Stefan. I think that we've had enough ghosts. We're on episode something. I can't remember what number we're on now. We've had a lot of ghosts, a lot of cryptids. Next week here on Fearscape FM, we're going to aliens.
Oh, okay, so we've touched a little bit on Kentucky goblins, but that's about all we've touched on here.
Oh, we leave in Kentucky.
Oh, we're leaving Kentucky?
We taking a trip, baby.
Yay. I'm super excited. We love doing our Kentuckiana stuff, but the world is so full of some other stuff we want to share with you guys, too.
I cannot wait to bring this to you all next week. It's going to be fun.
And so we will always dig back into Kentucky and Indiana and stuff, but sometimes we're going to go out. We're going to go out and hit some other places. So I'm super excited because I don't even know.
Yeah, it's a surprise.
I'm excited.
once again, send all your stories to us, fearscapepodcast@gmail.com. We did have to change the email, so it is fearscapepodcast@gmail.com. Please send those stories, send any leads, send any topics, any of that stuff, horrible things you want to say to Ed, we'll get them to him.
Yeah. We'll bring him on the podcast and say them to him personally.
Yeah, absolutely. definitely want to start moving into not just ghosts and cryptids, but definitely aliens. We might even start doing a little bit of UFO stuff, like sightings and stuff like that. That be on the lookout for some new stuff coming out.
Especially with the recent disclosure. I feel like I'm seeing it everywhere.
Ed and I talked about that, so I'm excited about all that recent all that stuff. So.
It was so weird being at the gym yesterday and just seeing all the news channels showing the UFO disclosure stuff.
Everything.
Going on.
So much stuff is coming out right now.
I didn't think I would live to see this. This is insane.
It's almost like someone told us about this stuff ahead of time. It's
weird.
Crazy.
Weird.
But yeah, thank you so much for tuning in as usual to 100.9 FM WCHQ, all local music all the time. This is Fearscape FM. We will be back every Sunday at 9 p.m. And so once again, thank you all for tuning in. This has been Stefan, and I will catch you on the flip side.
And this has been Brad. Don't step in any weird spaceships. And as always, hold those blankets extra tight.
Good night, folks.
I'm so glad you were able to join us for that horrifying discussion. I hope they didn't frighten you too much. Tune in next week for even more research into the nightmarish and haunting creeps and spooks that we tell ourselves don't exist, but we know they do. Make sure you have your blankets, that you hold them extra tight. Next time on Fearscape.
Hey, blanket huggers, Stefan here from Fearscape Paranormal Podcast, and do we have a scary good deal for you right now? If you head over to fearscapepodcast.com/gamefly, you can get a 30-day free trial Gamefly subscription on us. Now, if you're not familiar with Gamefly, it's a game and movie rental service where you can play the hottest video games for systems like the Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, or even the PS4. You can get up to 2 games or movies out at a time, and you can do that an unlimited amount of times a month. Josh and I love to play our game systems, and I am really enjoying the Final Fantasy VII Remake right now. And if you're like me, games are too expensive to buy and beat in the same weekend. Well, with Gamefly, you can get it and keep a game as long as you need. Then you just send it back and get the next game on your list. So head on over to fearscapepodcast.com/gamefly today and give it a try.